perhaps no generation has been more committed to buying stuff than our current one. No people, no nation has been more committed to their stuff than the United States. So today, as we continue on socially acceptable sins, our topic today is materialism. My name is Dan. I'm with Ben. We're the teaching pastors at Life Fellowship in suburban Charlotte, North Carolina. Ben, this is one that we're probably going to step on a few toes because we do live in an affluent area.
I mean, we're going to step on everyone's toes today because all of us at some level are materialists.
Yeah.
I mean, we find joy in buying more things.
Yeah. And you know, that it doesn't have to be expensive things because I know people who like are garage sale aficionados.
Yeah.
And it's not necessary. It's look at how much money I saved.
Or, I mean, there's a verb now, thrifting. I mean, thrifting was a verb that didn't even exist, I think, 4 years ago. Gen Zers love thrifting. Yeah, they love going to store and buying old things. And it's like, yeah, it's just, but it's still stuff. Like, do you remember, did you ever watch VeggieTales?
No.
Of course.
Yeah, Josh is part of the
generation. I grew up on VeggieTales.
Josh is part of the VeggieTales generation.
How young do you think I am?
I mean, VeggieTales first came out, I think, when I was in college.
My teens, to be fair.
Yeah. But for my kids, when they were younger, we raised them on VeggieTales. It was just, I think you did that. Yeah. If you had kids anywhere in the early 2000s, you raised your kids on VeggieTales. Anyways, they had this one episode with Madame Blueberry, and she gets so caught up about going to Stuff Mart. And so Stuff Mart, again, it's a playoff of Walmart, like Walmart, but it's just buying things you don't need, but because she thinks, I want to be happy. You know what I mean? And so, but you know, we're poking fun of it, but it's real. I mean, this is what happens to all of us. And sometimes, like you said, it could be a reused $4 shirt at Goodwill, or it could be a $50,000 boat, but it doesn't matter. It's the spirit and the heart behind, why am I buying this thing?
Yeah.
You know, that really is important.
Yeah, and it really does, you know, and I think we overuse the word at times, but I think it really does go to the domain of addiction at times.
Oh, absolutely.
That we become, and guilty pleasure, confession time.
Let's do it.
You ever watched Hoarders?
Oh, yes. Of course.
It just, if I'm feeling bad about myself, yes. I watch Hoarders.
It's the ultimate self-esteem show.
It gives me anxiety, though. I'm seriously, though. Doesn't that give me just total anxiety?
It doesn't give me anxiety, but I watch it, and I'm just like, I don't understand it. Yeah. I don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think all of us have like a junk drawer or a shed or we have some kind of room that's kind of like, just throw it all in there. But these people have it's when they're like, they don't throw away the old bags of used McDonald's stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's the kind of stuff you're like, what is going on here?
Empty cat food cans.
Yeah, it's just it's so odd and bizarre. But yeah, it's crazy.
But I think you know it's important to understand this, that all of us have inclinations, all of us have appetites, all of us have, you know, these little chinks in our character or our nature that if we don't keep a biblical perspective. Mm. And you know, one of the things that we rarely talk about is temperance. But if we don't, they will become, you know, our Achilles heel. They'll become this thing that overtakes us and drives us into poverty, as Scripture talks about in one passage. So let's talk about materialism from a biblical worldview.
Right.
Where do we start with that biblically?
I think it's – let me just say one more thing before I get into the Bible, because I think –
really funny.
I
don't know why that sounded really funny.
I just feel like
we'll get to the Bible.
I want to set the context here because I think all of us, the reason why we're calling this a socially acceptable sin is because we glorify these things.
Oh yeah.
I mean, going back 40 years, do you remember the show Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous?
Oh yeah. Robin Leach was.
Yeah, Robin Leach when he
Cribs.
Would MTV Cribs.
I don't remember that.
I mean, it was all about these lavish homes, lavish cars, lavish lifestyles that people have, the lifestyles that were, and you look at that, and the whole point of these shows is to say, you can't be happy unless you're living like this. And I think it's just so dangerous for us. I think what social media has done has brought this to a very personal level is we get to see what everyone does now on all things. So if someone gets to go on a big vacation to something tropical or Hawaii,
that's what's getting posted.
And it's everything's posting. Look at all these wonderful things to express what I'm able to do. And all of a sudden people are watching that and saying, I can't be happy unless I have that new car. I can't be happy unless I'm able to go on that kind of vacation. And they look around at their life and they're saying, it's the whole comparison thing, mm-hmm. which is so deadly and dangerous which to is all
one
of us. You know,
envy's one of the 10 originals.
Right. Yeah. So I'm just setting the framework to say, as much as we can read these Bible verses and nod our heads and like, yeah, amen, Ben. The reality is we live in a world that the gravitational pull towards materialism is constant. Mm-hmm. And therefore, just these the scripture has got to be more than just, oh yeah, that's what the Bible says. You've got to embed this in your heart. You have to be aware of all the messages you're hearing all the time from advertisers and from mm-hmm. the social media. And just, it's the waters we swim in. Like the cars that you drive, like I've got one of my vehicles is a 2006 Honda Odyssey with over 310,000 miles on it.
Nice.
Okay. And it's on its last leg. I mean,
but yay Honda.
Yeah. Yay yeah. Honda. I yeah. mean, we're a Honda family.
We had a Honda Odyssey.
Okay. Yeah. So, but I got to be honest with you, like as the years go by, sometimes I'm a little self-conscious about driving my 2006 Honda Odyssey because I'm like, It's got dents and bumps, and every single time my teenagers come back with it, it's like, where did that come from? I have no idea. It just
who cares? Now?
It just magically appeared, and so I've got one of these cars that's scraped, bumped, bruised. It takes 5 minutes to warm up to drive, and I'll be honest with you, even for me, I'm like, I don't want to drive this around Lake Norman. Right. I don't care driving it towards Lincolnton. I don't want to drive it towards Lake Norman. You know what I mean? But there's that.
We love you, Lincolnton.
I mean, we do. But
driving it over to Huntersville with my people.
but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's this part of you, like, why should I even care? It gets me from point A to point B. It's paid off. It's a paid off car. Yeah. But there's that. You never know the kinds of things, and especially if you're listening to us and you're younger, the propensity for you to find your value and your identity in your wealth or in your things is constant. And so you have to be aware of letting the word of God shape your heart and not culture and society. So anyways, now I can get to the Bible. Is that okay, Dan?
Yes.
Went on a little
as
rant.
Long as we far be it from me to criticize a ranter.
Yes.
But everything we try to do on this does begin with the biblical worldview.
Absolutely.
And scripture talks about more about money than any other single
yes,
topic.
Yes.
So, I mean, this materialism.
And it's everywhere.
And it has a lot of fingers to it.
Yes.
I mean, everything from narcissism to which is an overused word, but to entitlement to envy, lust.
Absolutely. There's all kinds of things. So there's a lot of Bible verses on this. I'm going to pick some major ones that I think really cover the priority of why we need to address this sin. But the first one really I want to address comes from Jesus. In his Sermon on the Mount, he talks about how there's a section in chapter 6 where he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves can break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then he later goes on and basically talks about how you cannot serve both God and money or mammon. And right there, Jesus is getting to the heart of that materialism, this desire for things can really captivate you. It can captivate your heart in such a way that Jesus makes this dichotomy of there's going to be the two greatest forces of influence in your life will be the love of money or the love of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, he makes it that clear. I think that is significant because what money and possessions do is essentially they create this substitute for God in saying, hey, I don't need God because I have all this stuff. I mean, even in the prayer of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. Dan, we live our entire lives so that we don't have to pray that prayer.
So true.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like,
look at our pantries, right?
Like, we live our lives so that we never have to pray, God, give us this day our daily bread. We want to make sure that we are, you know, all taken care of. And so money and materialism and having stuff surround us gives us this comfort that we need so that we don't have to cry out to God and say, God, I need you right now. So I think we have to be careful of the pull of materialism, knowing that the more that we say my value, my identity, my comfort, my joy is found in things and in money, the more that it'll pull you away from God and actually set you against God. And that's really important.
Yeah, and I think sometimes even the names we attach this soften what it really is. Because when it comes right, materialism, you know, is not a word that most of us want to wear, but it's truly idolatry, which is even a bigger and harsher word. Yeah. But anything that comes between us and God.
Yeah.
And when we start accruing stuff, possessions, money, whatever it is, it does become an idol for many.
Yes. So that's the first one. Materialism captivates your heart away from God. The second one is this: materialism leads to greater sin. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 10 says, those who want to get rich fall into all kinds of temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, you've heard this, is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So right there, we've heard that it's not The love of money is the root of all evil. It's the root of all kinds of evil. But the whole point is, your desire for money will compromise your morals, your values, your beliefs in such a way that you will start doing things that you will never imagined in order for you to get more. Mm. And that is you and I were talking about this story. It's all over the news this week. And I'm sure when we're releasing this, this will be old news by then. But I heard the story this week where there's a Christian school in Orlando, Florida, that just kicked this family out of their school. And the reason being is the mom and the dad have giant decals on the back of their car advertising their porn site. And so they are, I don't call them porn stars, but they are in the porn industry, and they're advertising their site on their vehicle. And so the school's like, what do we do with this? And they told the parents to park off site and then come get their kids, but they wouldn't do that. So they end up kicking them out. And it's like become this huge brouhaha. And the reason I found out about this was I was listening to sports talk radio and they were talking about this. And
let me guess, they were on side of the school.
They were.
Were they really?
Their point was, how can you be in the porn industry and send your kids to the Christian school? That makes no sense to me.
Interesting.
So I was
a little hope. Breaks through.
But these are non-believers.
They can even see the loop.
They can see the inconsistency, but their whole reason why this couple's doing it, because they said they both quit, or that one of them quit their jobs and said, I make so much money doing this, why I don't need my other career. And I'm just thinking that there is something seriously wrong with this mentality that says, I'm going to send my kids to a Christian school to receive biblical education and moral education, but for me, I can do with whatever I want to with my body. You can't tell me what to do, but the motivation and the reason for that compromise and for that dichotomy is this verse.
Right.
They want more money, leads to more things, which leads to a better lifestyle. And they're willing to compromise their own standards, their own honor of themselves.
Or their own well-being of their children.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, this story was so mind-boggling to me. It's like I didn't have a category for it. And it just was like the sign that the apocalypse is upon us.
Yeah. Yeah. And whatever happened to shame?
Exactly. You know? Good shame. Yeah. Good shame. Yeah. There's a good kind of shame.
There is a good kind of shame. And that ought to be a podcast in the future, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Because we are a shameless society.
Yeah.
We glorify in our lack of shame.
I could not believe how many people said, you know, you and I talked, I couldn't believe how many parents were like, what's the big deal? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the reason why you can say this is because you look at these people with their motivation and say, I do the same thing. Mm-hmm. It might not be on the porn industry, but it's something else that you're willing to compromise in order to get the lifestyle that you want. And what you're doing is there's a reason why the majority of young people that grow up in a Christian environment, in a church environment, don't follow the faith. If they have parents that they see this kind of.
Yeah. And you know, it's easy for us as believers to look at that and say, oh, look at those people. They're destroying their children. They're doing this and that. They're shameless or whatever. But we'll make lesser obvious choices mm-hmm. consistently. Mm-hmm. This is going to sound really legalistic, but I've learned a lot from when my parents were young. They bought a lot at a lake, and that was a big deal where I come from. We weren't rich, and so we would go after church on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And in order to go after church on Sundays, Mom had to get up really, really early, and you had to carry your own dinner and picnic and all that kind of stuff, and get the boat ready. Mm-hmm. And then it became like, well, we'll skip Sunday school because we didn't get everything done. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, our church had church on Sunday nights, which we were faithful to. Well, then we would stay too long, we would miss Sunday night, and then before long, it's like, well, we really need to go to church. My dad woke up one day and sold the lot. And he came back and he said, here's why, because it was crowding out church. And if I'm choosing between the two, then I'm choosing that. Yeah. Now, I, at my age and where I'm at, I would like to say, well, Dad, could like maybe Saturday, you know, but he made a really.
There's a third way, Dad.
Yeah, no kidding. Stinking legalist.
No one said he was a saint.
But, you know, the fact that that's why he did it, I mean, now we're 50 years removed from it, and that left a huge impression with me.
It left an impact where there was a choice between God and money or God and pleasure.
If something
God
was going to interfere with our spiritual priorities, it was out the door.
Yeah.
And how often do any of us do that today? And I got to say, it's rare because we do find the middle way, or we find a way to have it all or something. And, you know, sometimes we got to tell ourselves no.
Yeah. I think compromising. The whole point is materialism will make you compromise. It not only takes your heart away from God, it will make you compromise your life, your standards, your morals, and I think that's really huge. The last one is materialism breeds more materialism.
Yeah, never satisfies.
Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. The whole point is you never get to the point where they're like, okay, because you buy that boat and all of a sudden you see someone has a better boat, a bigger boat, or a newer model. You see someone who you buy a new house and all of a sudden, well, those people have a nicer house. The whole comparison game never ends. And so you have a condo at the beach, but you don't have a house at the beach and you don't have it on the beach. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all the, it doesn't matter how much money and possessions you end up accumulating, there's always going to be someone who has more. Mm-hmm. And that comparison game can be very dangerous to you to say it still isn't enough. So I think when it comes to materialism, you've got to be very careful how it is robbing you your affection away from God, how it makes you compromise your life, and how it just breeds more materialism. It's never going to end with, okay, we finally have enough.
Yeah, and it's important to note this. Materialism is not a rich man's disease. It's a human disease.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, because sometimes we think, well, you know, I'm poor. I'm not materialistic. No, that's not true. If you're putting your vacations on credit cards so you go to Disney instead of one you can afford, that's materialism.
Yep.
If you are neglecting your family so that you can, you know, work the extra job to get toys, that's materialism, and we need to call it what it is. It isn't a matter of how many zeros are on your paycheck. 100%.
I'm so glad you said it. Yeah, this is not about what you have, but why you want what you have.
It's a state of the heart.
It's a state of the heart, 100%. So in the last few minutes, I just want to talk about some things all right, so what do we do? How do we confront this? It's one thing to be aware of it. And so what do we do? First thing I would say is you got to be honest about where materialism exists in your heart. I think you have to address where is the love of money, the love of things encroaching on your own faith, your own heart, your own love, your own desire for God to say, yeah, I'm making compromises here. Like the point of that your dad made, I'm sure the Holy Spirit was doing something in his heart at some point to say, hey, you're compromising. Yeah. I pray to God that we, all of us, are open to that. God, show me where I'm making compromises in my life by which I'm letting the love of things to keep me from fully loving you. So I think that's the first one, be honest. The second thing I would say is you got to learn how to give sacrificially. The best way to combat materialism is the actual practice of tithing or sacrificial giving.
I'm so glad you're saying this.
Because if you understand the first fruits of what you have are God's and it's 100% of what you receive is a gift from God, then you realize all 100% of what I have is God's. And so I'm going to give him the first fruits, 10%. Mm-hmm. But that sets the priority. Yeah. The priority is not you. The priority is not what you own and what you have. The priority is the kingdom of God. The priority is treasures in heaven. The priority is not stuff that's going to break down and moths and rust can destroy. Thieves can break into. I'm not interested in accumulating things that at the end of my life go to someone else or will deteriorate and corrode. I want to build my entire life and to give my life, my time, treasure, and talent to something that is eternal. And so I think the priority of giving and sacrificial giving is paramount. The third thing I would say is learn to minimize. Mm. I think this is something that as Americans, we've got to learn to do is to, maybe I don't need 17 sweaters. Maybe I just need 3.
Yeah.
To declutter and to say, you know, and I'm telling you, whenever you declutter, there's something spiritually enlivening about that. We've done that number of times. Load up boxes, go to Goodwill, and you're like, oh, this feels so good. Mm-hmm. And there's something about just minimizing. You don't need everything. You can you don't need, again, 10 pairs of jeans. You might need 2. Learn to live with less, and you will find that you'll be just as happy with what you have. You know, and then the last thing I would say is stop comparing.
Oh yeah.
That is, stop comparing what other people. I was thinking about my life growing up. I've shared this story, I think, before on this podcast with other people. I had the great privilege of seeing 2 families growing up. My dad's side of the family were all farmers in Western New York. My mom's side of the family were very high level, wealthy people. Operating in New York and Florida, and both families were wonderful. But I had great memories with both sets of families. I'm not saying that, but what I loved seeing was like money didn't dictate the happiness of the other, and it did not improve the quality of life above the other. I think that's really. I'm so thankful that I had the privilege of seeing high society, but also seeing farmers, mm-hmm. and seeing that what matters most in a family is love. Yeah. It's not stuff. It's not money. And so stop comparing and saying, if we only had this, then our lives would be easier. It's just, it's a false belief that God never wants you to have. So anyways.
And living the life absent materialism is not an indication that you're poor. It may be an indication that you're rich.
Amen.
Some of the wealthiest people I know actually are farmers. They really That's are. True. I mean, they're multi-millionaires. Yes.
You would never know it.
You would never, ever That's know right. it because they have learned to be content with what they have and not need more. So this has been a great conversation. I hope you really, would you take a moment today sometime and ask the Lord to show you areas in your life where you may have succumbed to a little bit of materialism? And you know, this idea that, well, I'm not as bad as the next person or so forth. No. Throw that away. And just ask God to reveal and work in your life what this principle means and where you can address it.
That's right.
Ben, I want to say this before I close. You know, I work with organizations. I'm a chairman of the board of a group and so forth. And so many times we see people who are in ministry and work for nonprofits, and they don't practice what they preach.
Yeah.
Dude, I've known you for 40 years. not 40, but 35. 35. And you live this principle. You really do. And I want to commend you for it because, you know, we always talk about the guy who's living in the $17 million mansion, driving the Bentley or whatever, who's in ministry.
Yeah.
But folks, trust me on this. Ben Rudolph is an example of someone who lives below his means, who is generous, who doesn't envy these. And does he want nicer things? Of course.
You're going to have to edit this out, Josh.
Yeah. No, I feel very awkward right now.
But you know, sometimes you need to commend your brothers.
You do.
And
we rip on you enough on this podcast. That's
right. This is payback.
Well, praise God. I mean, obviously, I had godly parents who modeled this.
Yeah, but even your kids. I mean, because I know your whole family. Your wife is this way. Your children are this way. Yeah. And so it's a part of your character, part of your nature. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to just say, oh, it's because you got a German background. And I'm going to get letters for that. But no, you model this. And it gives what praise you just Lord. Said today much credibility.
Praise
Folks,
God.
Thank you so much for joining us at Life Talks. And we hope that, that again, we do provoke you to thinking more biblically. Until next time, thanks for joining us at Life Talks.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a Ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.